In your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. I want you to be very careful about using those listening devices we have at the church, that you just don't turn me off at whenever you'd like to. By the way, we purchased 4 more of those this week. And so if you've been asking for one and haven't been able to get one, we purchased some more. Tonight will be a simple message, and actually the source of this message came from Brother Weatherby several years ago, and so that's not original with me. Nothing's new under the sun, but I enjoyed hearing him preach this particular message, and of course we've added some of our own meat to it. But there are many different various symptoms that we as Christians have when we have spiritual problems. And it's a good analogy tonight, so I want to do this with you tonight. Turn to Ephesians, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Very simple verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit does great things for us. He does. He's there to, again, He came into our heart when we accepted Christ as our Savior. He's there to enlighten us and give us understanding of the Scriptures. He's there to enable us in the feeling of the Spirit to be a witness to those around us. And He has sealed us until the day of redemption. And what a great work He does. But, in retrospect, or as we look at it, in His ministry, we also can do things to Him. And one of those things we can do is quench Him, is quench the Spirit. And we be so very careful. There are various symptoms that each of us in our lives face when we have spiritual problems. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight. Bless the reading of Your Word. We do pray tonight as we just look inside that we take a few of these and, Lord, look at our lives and see where we're at in our Christian life. And Lord, we pray that each of us would, again, live lives that are pleasing to You. And Lord, if one of these happens to hit someone in the room and, Lord, it's something that they're facing, I pray, God, to get that thing right. And Lord, we thank You so much for Your love and Your concern for us. In Jesus' name, amen. In sickness, there are many symptoms in sickness, whether it be a headache or fever or stomach ache. All of us face these when we get sick. There are physical consequences for getting sick, and even to death. And so some symptoms can create much bigger problems or symptoms of bigger problems. There are various ways in which each of us deal with those symptoms, right? And y'all have heard me say this before, you know, there are two different groups of people when it comes to getting sick. Well, there's another one above that one. That's all of us are wimps when we get sick, most of us, especially guys. But when the symptom comes on, we all deal with it two different ways. One is we go to the doctor. The other one is we're stubborn and we don't. Right? I most of the time fit in the number 2 spot. I've learned there's a couple of different sicknesses. You better go when you first start coughing, right? You should go, but yeah, Brother Kelly. But we all deal with it in you know, two different ways. We either go to the doctor or we're stubborn and we just wait and wait and wait and wait. But understand when we face these particular symptoms, those two decisions we are going to make. Either one, again, we're going to just ignore it or go to the doctor. Symptoms of spiritual problems are the same way, except they have eternal consequences. There ought to be a sense of urgency when we see spiritual symptoms in our life. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We understand that spiritual growing spiritually is a process, but also the other way. Normally a person just doesn't go off into deep sin, right, you know, just like that. It's usually a progression down the other way, down the wrong path, down a lonely path, down a sinful path. And so that progression takes time, step by step, little by little. There are two kinds of people when it comes, again, to sickness, those who go to the doctor and those who are stubborn. And there are two kinds of people when it comes to spiritual problems, those who go to the Lord and get those things right, and those who are stubborn and just hang on to it. Hello. Don't ignore the symptoms. There's some nurses in here that would tell you, don't ignore the symptoms. Something happens, go to the doctor. Could be a symptom of a larger problem. And most of the time in our spiritual life, the symptom could be a much larger problem going on in our lives. Number one, We face spiritual numbness. There are many people in this church have a lot worse backs than I do, but I have a vertebrae at the bottom of my back that's not connected on one side. And every once in a while, it just decides it's going to do some hairy things. It just decides it's going to go whatever it does. And you get that sharp pain down your leg, you know, that some of y'all are going, yeah, I've experienced that. And your leg just gets that like hot, real hot flash down it. Got that, whatever, that nerve thing, the sciatic nerve or whatever. Woo! And it hurts and your leg goes numb. And anyway, but that spiritual numbness, you don't feel the way you used to feel about the things of God. You been there? Just don't feel the way you used to feel. You lost your burden. You've lost your joy. The fire has been quenched. Man, I want the fire. I want to continue to flame the fire. Psalm 42, the psalmist said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him? As a Christian, there ought to be a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. You should want to know Him more. When we face a spiritual numbness, many times it's those who just are simply going through the motions. Simply going through the motions. Again, lost their burden, lost their joy. It's when a person gets to the point in their spiritual life when they no longer feel conviction. That's when the Holy Spirit's been quenched. When you get into service and your toes are never stepped on, you don't feel like your toes have ever been stepped on. If you go 2 or 3 months in this church and you don't feel like your toes have been stepped on, something's wrong. Back it up. If I'm in my office and I'm studying for these messages and my toes don't get stepped on for 2 or 3 months, something's wrong with me. Right? I'm absolutely. Amen? Everybody kind of nod your head. Make sure you're with me. Amen. And so it should affect us. The preaching of the Word of God should affect us. So many people experience spiritual numbness. Number two, blurred vision. Thank the Lord for LASIK surgery. Woo! Love it. I'll never forget, I was, just took my first church. I was 19 years old, and I began to look, and I could not see the back row anymore. And when I'd drive at night, I'd see two signs instead of one. Oh, I said, it'll be all right. Once I get up to the sign, I can see it as it passes by. But boy, if it was green, or green especially, green, it would be all blurry. I couldn't see a thing. But until it got right up on me, and then I said, I saw it. And so I started wearing glasses when I was about 19, up until, what was it, a year ago, whatever it was. And I had the surgery. Thank the Lord. It's been a tremendous blessing to get up at night, look over at the clock, and be able to see it again. We take those things for granted, you know? Amen. Blurred vision. Blurred vision. We, again, as the vision gets blurred, we go to the doctor and we get the glasses. But many people get spiritually blurred vision and they lose sight of God. They get their eyes on the world. All of us have been in that situation before. Maybe you're there tonight. Again, your sight of God has been blurred. Before you saw victory, now you see haze and defeat. You ever just get to that point in your life, all you see is defeat? Look around you. I can do that politically tonight, right? Man, I was that way after he got elected, first few months, and just see all the downward spiral of everything. And even before he got elected, it was still going downhill. And it's like, man, where is this going? And, well, you can really get defeated. And in your spiritual life, you can get defeated. And you can feel like everything is just out of focus. You become a very much of a pessimist instead of an optimist. Again, I think Christians, you ought to be optimists. And we ought to be optimistic not only about what's going on in our lives, but in our Christian lives. Be optimistic about what the Lord's doing for us. In this blurred vision, talking about spiritually having blurred vision, it's a point in your life when your discernment and judgment become faulty. Well, I've experienced this as a pastor many times, and I get out of kelter with the Lord and out of kelter with Him and where I'm supposed to be, then I begin to make lousy decisions. I make lousy decisions sometimes when I'm even right with the Lord, but really when we're out of sync with the Lord, when we're not right with Him, we can make some lousy, lousy decisions. Amen? Amen. We need to be very careful about keeping our eyes on the Lord and not losing our vision. Don't lose your vision for your Christian life and in growing in Him and growing spiritually with Him in the area of sanctification. Don't ever lose your vision of reaching for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't ever lose your vision and get satisfied with where you're at in your Christian life. Don't allow your vision to get blurred. Don't allow it to get hazy. Don't just give up. Again, don't lose sight of what the church's goal is. Again, our goal is to reach people for Jesus, to see them get saved and baptized and see them discipled in the church. Don't ever lose that vision as a church. Amen? We need to keep going forward. We need to line up as a mighty army for the Lord and be on the same page, whether you're teaching a Sunday school class, teaching in children's church or the master's club, and we're fixing to start the buses back up and do that. Whatever you're doing in the church, that you keep your eyes focused on the goal, and that is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And when you lose sight, and you lose courage, and things in your life become very hazy, very blurry in life, you'll lose vision and you'll lose heart. Don't do it. And when you have those symptoms, back up. Look at those things. Get those things right with the Lord. How's your appetite tonight? Mine's great. I didn't talk about food one time this morning, didn't I? I did really good this morning. I have a big appetite, as you know, and it's definitely one of my faults, and I definitely need to work on it. But as a kid growing up in our home, it was every man for himself when it came to the dinner table. I had an older brother who's 4 years older than me. My younger sister was a year younger. And my younger sister could out-eat most boys 9 times out of 10. I mean, we had homemade pancakes on Sunday morning. She'd eat 6 or 8 of them. I mean, just no big deal. And 2 or 3, 4 or 5 pieces of sausage. And that's the way we ate. My grandparents provided meat for us from the farm. And, well, we always had some meat every evening, something. Might be goulash. I love goulash. Man, I don't care how it's prepared. It can be that noodle stuff or that flat noodle stuff. It can be that stuff with just everything in it, you know, the corn and tomatoes and hamburger meat. And I don't know what all my dad put in it. It was good. I think maybe okra, whatever was in it was good stuff. Big appetite. I remember as a kid, we didn't have a lot of desserts in the home. And back then, of course, didn't eat out. We ate out, you know, once a month usually. And so on Sunday nights, a lot of times our supper was either the leftovers from lunch or my dad would go buy a half gallon of Bluebell homemade ice cream. And there was no ice cream left. My mom would make a chocolate cake whenever she did, or my dad would. And it never lasted the next day. It was gone. Wiped out. Big appetite. So that has haunted me, has caught up with me. But we can have that same problem. And actually, not that problem. That's what we want, and spiritually speaking. We want a great appetite for the things of God. We want a big appetite for the things of God. Let me ask you tonight, do you crave the things of God? Y'all remember, and we won't go to the verse, but Job said this. Job said he'd rather read God's Word than eat. Job, and all the problems he faced, all the things he suffered, and yet he said he'd rather read the Word of God. He'd rather have the Word of God than eat. I wonder what would happen if we spent as much time reading our Bibles as we did eating, what would take place and transpire in our lives. Now I'm going to point one at you and 3 back at me. Amen? I mean, really, what would happen in our lives? We need to have a great appetite for the things of God. When you lose your appetite for God, then you need to check it up. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the Lord. So, Lord, I've lost my appetite. Give me my appetite back. When a person gets sick, they lose their appetite. That's one of the great weight loss programs of all time. But it's not good spiritually when you lose your appetite. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. Amen. Bread and fish upon the fire. Oh, man. Come and dine. Come and dine. The Lord desires fellowship with us. The Lord desires a relationship with us. And there ought to be, as a Christian, you ought to have an appetite for the things of God. Listen, we must be careful about these symptoms in our life. We must be careful about the symptoms in our life, whether it's numbness, when we're just kind of going through the motions. We need to be careful about that. When that happens in our life, we need to go to the doctor. When blurred vision takes place and we get our eyes off the Lord Jesus, and things began to look all just discouraging and just hazy and blurred, we need to go back to the doctor. When we lose our appetite for the things of God, we need to go to the doctor. We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then another problem we have is knee problems. We could all talk about our knees tonight. Probably have a conference about it. I was powerlifting in high school, and I was doing what they call a power clean. And I brought the weight up, and that's when you bring it up to your chest. And when I brought it up, it didn't want to come up to my chest. So it went down on my knee. I'll never forget, I was out for about 6 months, couldn't do anything. And the knee just never is the same after that. Right? Some of y'all really experienced something. And we all have, spiritually, we all have knee problems. And that is all, we need a revival of prayer. We preached 4 weeks on Wednesday night on prayer throughout the summer. We need a revival of prayer. Prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. We need a revival of intercessory prayer, praying for others, selflessly going to the throne of God and praying for our fellow Christians. But more importantly than praying for the sick is praying for the lost. Take the list that we put together on that Wednesday night here just a few months ago, last month. Take that list and pray for those individuals who you know is lost. Some of the parents that are of their kids are here tonight. Some of their dad and moms are lost, and they need the Lord. They need the Savior. We need to pray for them. We need a revival of prayer. That old song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer." Is it really sweet? When you get on your knees, is it sweet? Is it truly a sweet hour of prayer? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. 3 times a day. Do you have time for God? Do you take time for God? Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. In other words, you don't take these 10 rules and live by them and God's all pleased with you. That's not necessarily true. Of course we can do, 10 or 15 things that He says to do in the Bible and God will be pleased with it. Listen, God desires a relationship with you. He desires a personal relationship with you. He desires a relationship with me. If I never talk to my wife, how am I supposed to have a relationship with her? And if I never talk to the Lord, how can I have a relationship with her? You'll learn, listen to this, you'll learn more about the Lord through prayer. Rephrase this. You'll learn as much about the Lord through prayer as you do your Bible reading. You will. You get the personal time with Him. He'll speak to your heart. You'll get to know Him. Amen? Some of you who have experienced it, some of you who have gotten on your knees and just felt Him so close, you just felt like you could reach out and touch Him. That's amazing, isn't it? We need a revival of prayer in the Christian life. We need those who get in their closets and get on their knees and pray and have that private time and get a hold of heaven. Get a hold of the power of God through prayer. We need prayerful, powerful pews and prayerful and powerful pulpits. And the only way you get the power is through prayer. Knee problems. We all have knee problems to a certain extent. Amen? Another one is anxiety. Don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever had an anxiety attack? Don't raise your hands. I've had one. It's been 13 years ago. And I was in the room, and all of a sudden, I just felt like my heart was about to come. I thought I was having a heart attack. I did. I said, man, I am having a heart attack. Man, I was going numb, and I couldn't breathe, and called my mother-in-law. My wife calls the mother-in-law and said, hey, this is what's going on. What do we do? She said, I'll just get a paper bag. It'll be all right. Breathe in the paper bag. And sure enough, within a few minutes, I was good. But just in case, I went to the doctor anyway. The doctor said, yeah, just an anxiety attack. And I know this doctor's known me since I was a kid. He's like, buck up, boy. Kick me in the pants. Just what I needed from my doctor. He's a fine Christian man. And that's exactly what he told me, basically. But you have an anxiety attack. Just the pressures of everything around you began to just to crush you. And you get allow worry to dominate your entire thought life. You allow doubt to dominate your entire thought life instead of peace. And then instead of having the peace that passes all understanding, you have the anxiety that passes all understanding. And it is unbelievable as the way it makes you feel. understand that Jesus Christ is not the author of fear. He's the author of faith. Amen? God is not the author of fear, but of joy, love, and a sound mind. Listen, as you experience that fear in your life, you experience anxiety in your life, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. Go to the Lord and cast those cares upon Him. As I've said many times, those who experience those burdens and things that begin to just overtly oppress you, many times as a Christian, your caster's broke. And I'm talking about your wheels. They could be broke too, but I'm talking about your fishing rod. Your caster's broke. You're not able to lay those things upon the Lord and allow Him to take care of them. Most things we worry about, we have no control over. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully on His promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? And I tell you what, again, as I'm pointing at you, three-point back at me, we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord. And when anxiety presses you down and worry and doubt presses you down, you need to go to the Lord. Go to the doctor with those things. Ever had a high temperature? How about a cold one? As a Christian, we all experience different temperatures. Most of the time, as Christians, we're cold. Are you cold tonight? By that I mean, have you become uncompassionate? I preached on this many different times. I preached it to a bunch of preachers here just a year or so ago, that one of the greatest problems in fundamentalism today is compassion, a lack of compassion. And it all comes back to us. Are we compassionate towards those around us? Brother Harry got up and read about Brother Casillas. And man, I've been around Brother Casillas. I've been in his home in Mexico. I've been with him with my parents out in Snyder several times and just to have a good relationship with him. And I can empathize with what he's going through. I know where his house at. I know what his house looks like. I know what, man, just the things he's gone through. I know what he drives. We need to be compassionate, empathize with people as Christians. We need to put ourselves in their place. Put ourselves in their spot. Do you care tonight? Do you really care? You say, well, what happens if I don't? What happens when I become cold? Go to the doctor. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am not as compassionate as I used to be. My fire is gone. You can put some wood on the fire simply by going to the doctor. Go to the Bible. I've been there many times. Many times. Uncompassionate. Mean-spirited. Just like to get up in the pulpit and just rip everybody. Amen? Y'all have never been that way. You're not the preacher, right? But as time has gone on, I can understand now how an older pastor, and I'm certainly not there yet, but experiences the bumps and bruises of ministry and how you can begin to truly have a love and compassion for your people. It's totally different than it was 17 years ago. Totally different. We need to have compassion for people. Listen, folks, people aren't perfect. This church isn't perfect. If you think you've joined the perfect church, you haven't. By the way, it wasn't perfect when you joined it. It wasn't perfect after you joined it. It wasn't perfect because you joined it. Right? Love hides a multitude of sins is absolutely correct. We love each other. We put up with each other. We don't necessarily sometimes like all that the others do and may do, but we're family. We're family. Amen? We're family. And I didn't always agree with everything, you know, my family did, but we loved each other. Me and my brother love each other. We're best friends, and him and I don't agree on anything. I'm telling you, when it comes to church, we don't agree on anything. But I love him. He's my best friend. We need to have compassion and a love, a warm love towards each other. And a fire and a love for those around us, dying and going to hell without hope. Then there's chronic laryngitis. Chronic laryngitis. How's your vocal cords tonight? How's your vocal cords? How's your witnessing going? Remember when you first got saved and how much you wanted to tell somebody about the Lord? I'll never forget. I got saved when I was 6. One of my cousins came down from Oklahoma to stay the night with us. And I'll never forget laying in the bed and witnessing to him, telling about how I got saved. And he got saved, my first convert. Woo! You know, and I'll never forget going to tell my parents, hey, I led so-and-so to the Lord last night in the bed. Would you talk to him, Mom and Daddy? Talk to him. And just just wanted to be a witness to somebody, just want to tell somebody about Jesus. Listen, you've got people hurting around you, all around you, your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, whom you need to have compassion on, and you need to tell them about Jesus. I understand we need to live a life around them that will testify who we serve and who we are and be the Christian we ought to be in order to be the testimony we ought to be. But just being the testimony we ought to be does not necessarily close the case. It doesn't just necessarily mean we've done our part. We need to tell them. Amen. Tell them. And the Lord will give you the power and strength to do so. How's your witness going? Many Christians become have the chronic laryngitis. You know, I love that old hymn. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Amen. I love to tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story of Jesus. When's the last time you told the story of Jesus to somebody? When's the last time you were witness to somebody? Not just by your life, but I mean by your words. Have you told somebody about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't done so in a while, maybe you need to check it up. You need to go to the doctor and say, Lord, I know I need a witness of so-and-so. Lord, give me the grace and strength to do so and the appropriate time and place to do so. Don't just leave it open. Say, Lord, give me a chance. Send them my way. Give me a time to speak to them. Lastly, as we think about this, and this is actually just extra, I couldn't come up with anything to go with this one, but just talking overall, spiritually speaking, all of us, one of the spiritual symptoms of having a problem is that we become selfish. I know that's a very broad statement because selfishness is what sin is. That's a definition of sin, is being selfish. But as we grow in Christ, we should become selfless. So when we back up on God, we become selfish. Whether it be in our relationship with our spouse, relationship with our kids, relationship at work, whatever it may be, we become selfish. We need to be giving people. Giving is living. Giving to others. By the way, the happiest and most content Christian is a giving Christian. Now I'm talking about finances, times and talent and treasure. I've said this many times. I believe it's absolutely biblical that you can tell the temperature, the spiritual temperature of a person by their pocketbook. Get your checkbook out and you can find out where your heart is. Amen. Absolutely. You can tell the spiritual temperature of someone simply by what they give. I believe that. Giving is living. Are you giving like you used to? When a Christian stops giving to the Lord, when he stops giving to the Lord his tithes and his offerings, there's something wrong. They need to go to the doctor. You need to take it up with Jesus. You say, preacher, it's not, that's between me and the Lord. Absolutely, it's between you and the Lord. You go to the Lord and check it up. By the way, you reap what you sow. I'm not being a TV evangelist, but you do reap what you sow. The more you reap, the more you sow. The Lord will bless you. He'll bless your giving. Given it shall be given unto you. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together, will men give unto your bosom. And I believe that. I do. By the way, at Christ's and the Lord's timing, not yours. Amen? There used to be a philosophy out there that a Christian really wasn't spiritual unless he was poor. I don't necessarily believe that. Amen? I don't believe it at all. It's kind of like this old saying that, you know, a spiritual church is a small church. That's not true. A small church can be spiritual, by the way. I pastored a small church and have pastored small churches. But giving is living. Giving is Christ's likeness. Don't give grudgingly, nor of necessity, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Give. Giving, not just giving here at the church. I'm talking about giving to others. Caring for others. Looking on others' needs more than yourself. I'll never that verse in Philippians where Paul says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Christ's. Paul said, I've got nobody to send to you. Everybody I know is caught up more than themselves, more than they are in others. We need to care and be concerned for others. These are simply symptoms of a spiritual problem. When we have these spiritual problems, we need to go to the doctor instead of being stubborn like we are when we're physically sick. stubborn and just living with it. You don't have to live with those things. Bring those to Christ. He is the great physician, by the way. He can fix every spiritual problem you have. I'm glad He can fix the physical problems as well. Amen? But He certainly can fix the spiritual problems. Listen, He is the balm of Gilead. Maybe you're here tonight and you're maybe one of these symptoms you have in your own life. Maybe you got that numbness going on, blurred vision. Maybe there's a knee problem. Maybe the lack of appetite there. Whatever the case is, whatever symptom you may have, I pray tonight that you might go to the great physician with those issues. Amen. Let's all stand, sing a verse of invitation, hymn 162.